If you want to know what truly drives the engine of the world, follow the money. If you want to know why elections fail and countries can't succeed from their nations, follow the money. If you want to know what drives the elite to craft terrible plans in the dark corners of the world, follow the money. And finally, if you want to know what will bring about a terrible transformation that will most certainly drive us into collapse in the near future, follow the money. This week, while the world was, in fact, following the money with the Alibaba offering, which was pretty stunning, there's been some news that shows that the world was about to come apart by the financial seams. We saw the wealthy of the world clamor for gold bars in the wake of Scotland's independence vote. We read about how Ebola will transform the world economy. And finally, we read about how Ayn Rand's Directive 10-289 is actually becoming law here in the U.S. Sit tight tonight while I bring you news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is I Am the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Welcome back. I Am the Economy this week is brought to you by Buggin' Out in Deer Park, Washington. Buggin' Out is your source for preparedness items from freeze-dried food to water filters to specialty medical items. And right now, they have an excellent selection of personal hygiene items that are ready, that are well-priced, and ready for you to pick up. Contact them today at 509-276-5478. That's Buggin' Out in Deer Park, Washington. Buggin' Out, your source for all your preparedness items. And now, on with the news. In the wake of Scotland's independence vote on Thursday, it was evidently clear that the wealthy of the world were extremely worried that Scotland's separation from the United Kingdom was going to collapse the pound. In an interview and report on London's Telegraph this week, Rob Halliday-Stein, the founder of BullionByPost.com, reported that the number of 12.5-kilogram gold bars was being brought and bought by wealthy customers has increased 243% this year, and that's compared to the same period last year. The sales of the 1 kilogram gold bars, worth about £25,000 each, has doubled during the 3 months prior to this event in August. Mr. Halliday-Stein said, while most customers arrange for secure storage for the larger bars in secret vaults operated by Brinks, some of the customers have actually taken the physical delivery of the 12.5 kilogram gold bars. The small coins, as well, can also be sent by post, and they're seeing an increase in the amount of clients wanting physical delivery of that gold. Well, this proves it for me. Gold and silver are a currency and will always be, but the fact that the delivery of physical gold is up 243% proves that even the wealthy aren't putting any stock, for lack of a better term, in central banks and paper currency. Fellow patriots, as we step further and further into debt, and the bubbles that Mark Faber, and other alternative economists have said are out there begin to burst, you need to always have a way of purchasing and hedging your wealth. Now, I will always say that barter should always be your first line of trade in commerce. However, gold and silver have been used for centuries and will continue to be used for real currency going forward. I'd recommend today going to your local coin shop and buying your junk silver and gold. And then in the world news tonight, the costs of the Ebola outbreak are beginning to raise serious concern that the cost of the economic impact of fighting the terrifying disease is causing great harm to the local economies of the area that it's been broken out in. In a statement issued on September 17th, World Bank President Jim Yong Kim said, quote, "The primary cost of this tragic outbreak is in the human lives and suffering, which have already been terribly difficult to bear. But our findings make it clear that the sooner we get an adequate containment response and decrease the level of fear and uncertainty, the faster we can blunt Ebola's economic impact." He followed up with this quote, "We have seen in recent days a serious scaling up of the part of international donors to contain the Ebola epidemic. Today's report underscores the huge potential costs of the epidemic, and if we don't wrap up our efforts to stop it now." He is right, and oftentimes we forget about the economic impacts of fighting a major disease like Ebola. The mainstream media only paints a picture of the human impact of the destruction, not the economic impact of the destruction. Right now, those costs are growing rapidly to combat Ebola, and the projected costs for the moment for Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone are totaling $359 million. However, at the current pace, the World Bank estimates the cost could top $809 million by early 2015. But there could be an even bigger impact should Ebola spread to our shores. I'm going to offer this next statement with a disclaimer. This is conjecture, and only that. It is based off my economic understanding about how money flows through the economy and nothing more than this. Picture this. Ebola makes it to our shores, maybe through an open border in the south. Who knows? But for some strange reason, the country gets locked down to stop the spread of the disease. Now, what would happen during that time period? Trucks wouldn't be able to deliver goods such as groceries, fuel, and medical supplies. Even oxygen that is supplied to nursing homes would cease to be delivered. Crime would skyrocket. And I can hear you saying, but Fox, wouldn't crime be lower as people would be kept indoors? Yes, that logic works about as good as thinking that if you outlaw guns, it would take them out of the hands of criminals. Most crimes are reported to the police by average citizens, you and I. Without the eyes of the public, crime would continue to be higher during these periods. Fear would be through the roof. Violence could and would erupt at certain parts of the country, which would cause the spread of the disease even further. People would freak out ahead of time, stocking up for the period that the stores would be closed at. In the wake of having our country locked down, it would cause some serious impacts to our economy. Excuse me. Now, does Fox 19 believe that Ebola will come to our shores in America? Sure. There is a very strong probability that it will make it here through air travel, or maybe, I don't know, through that open border in the South again. It's just another reminder that we as patriots and preppers need to always be ready to handle pandemics and the costs that are associated with those. Finally tonight, I want to read you something. And for many of you out there, you may know where these words come from. Point one, all workers, wage earners, and employees of any kind whatsoever shall henceforth be attached to their jobs, and nor leave or be dismissed or have a change of employment. Point two, all industrial, commercial, manufacturing, and business establishments, of any nature whatsoever shall henceforth remain in operation, and the owners of such establishments shall not quit, nor leave, nor retire, nor close, or sell or transfer their business. Have you figured out where those are from yet? Those are the prophetic words of Ayn Rand, and those have finally come to life in the form of a new House resolution that has not quite been passed yet, but has great support. That House resolution is 5445, and it states this in the body of the document. Notwithstanding any other provision of law, no mail processing facility operating as of September 1st, 2014, may be closed or consolidated prior to December 31st, 2015. Sound familiar? Think about that for a moment. The federal government just stated that a bankrupt organization that is a money pit may never be closed, even though they have maxed out their $15 billion line of credit, have a negative net worth of negative $44 billion, and continue to finance their operations and cannot be offset with any debt or revenue. This is classic government waste. The fact that someone would introduce a bill to continue the government operations irregardless of the consequences tells me one thing. They will do anything they can to hang on to power right now. They will squeeze the blood from this tournament, that is, the economy, and for what good? What is truly left? A nation of takers and consumers who only care where their new iPhone comes from? Or who wins America's Got Talent? Ayn Rand was a genius, and she knew that someday the government would attempt to preserve their own power through House resolutions and executive orders. She knew that as the end approached, they would take severely unnecessary actions all in the name of power preservation. She saw the writing on the wall. And she saw how the debt increased from handouts from the government as it would increase the loss to our future. We are seeing a trend here, ladies and gentlemen. As the bottom begins to fall out, the government decides that it will do its best to, quote, contain issues from the public and choose not to accept responsibility to fix its own future. It will only damn those who have to inherit it. And fortunately, those inheriting it are you and I. Okay, with these three stories in mind, here's my advice for you this evening. Building a mutual assistant team is not easy. There are many things you have to consider. How will the ethics of the team work? Does everyone share their same beliefs? Do your personal goals and the team goals line up? What roles will everybody play? How will they deal with crisis? Of course, these are some of the questions you won't be able to answer until you actually enter into those types of situations. However, the resources are available out there to help you build your group. I recently listened to Mark Goodwin's podcast, the Prepper Recon podcast, and I heard a great interview with Charlie Hogwood on building mutual assistant groups, otherwise known as MAGs. I think it's a catchy title. Charlie has a wealth of information on the subject and has a great book entitled MAGs, The People Part of Prepping, How to Plan, Build, and Organize a Mutual Assistance Group in a Survival Situation. I have purchased it and plan on reading it very soon, and I would encourage you to do the same. Anyways, thanks for listening this week to Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519, signing off. God bless.